Okay, you're going to call to order now.
5:00 p.m. And everybody got a copy of the minutes of our last meeting? And
make a motion to approve the minutes?
Motion to approve, second. Discussion, favor?
Aye.
Carried. On the public be heard, particularly, young man, did you have anything you wanted to talk about?
No, I'm just here to observe.
Pardon?
I'm just here to observe.
Thanks, Carl. Good slide.
Well, you're welcome to, if you had something about, on the agenda or something you wanted to chat about.
All right, no, thank you.
Okay. The resolution we have is establishing a policy for the Ulster County Office of the Controller that governs the accessibility and timeliness of information and records possessed by various departments, offices, units, and programs of the county.
I'll move it for discussion.
Moving for discussion.
Second.
Discussion.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, sir.
The more I looked at this resolution, and the more I've talked to other people, I understand, you know, the need for information from the controller's standpoint. And within the parameters of the Office of Controller, he is entitled to a timely process when he asks for information. Now, I do understand that your office has the same access to the financial system as, let's say, our financial analyst, Don Quisnell.
Yes and no. And I've asked our Director of Internal Audit Control a little bit more specifics.
Well, except for anything that's posted during the first week of the month or something, or any kind of budget change or budget transfer, it takes like a week or so before it gets approved, before you have access.
So right now, according to her and those folks that are in the financial system every day,
right.
They have to specifically request permission when info or security has been restricted. So permission must come from the Department of Finance, i.e. the commissioner, who also has to coordinate with information services to be able to provide access. Now, again, as far as my knowledge, this is not a wholesale access. So part of their frustration is that they don't even know what's missing until they start digging for it. So they do not have the exact same viewpoint as, say, the Department of Finance would.
No. Well, you have read-only access.
Read-only, but still limited within that. So they still have to go to the commissioner request when they're looking for something. But again, part of the problem is that they don't always know what they're looking for because it's not there.
Right. Well, I understand that. I mean, look, I couldn't go through the financial system and try to find something that I needed to find, even with Don's help. The other part of it is you know, and the cooperation between the executive and the comptroller's office. Now, when you need information, do you put it in writing, or do you just say, hey, can I get this, or can I get that? What is the protocol? What is the process when you're doing an audit or you're doing an investigation and you want something from the Department of Finance that you can't get? How do you request that?
So day-to-day claims, voucher, that type of simple backup documentation that our auditors are doing, that's generally over the phone or a simple email. And that's usually a quick turnaround because that's on a staff-to-staff level, and they're usually able to get that pretty quickly. It's the deeper stuff that requires a little bit of digging, usually. And those are the requests that are usually for formal audits or reviews or something along those lines. Those are, I'd say, 9 times out of 10 put in right. 9.9 times out of 10 put in right. At stating, and again, we've been following the protocol up until we removed ourselves. But departments have had access to the protocol, and they've said, you know, we'll get back to you within 7 days plus 10 that they usually have.
Has there ever been an occasion where you requested information and you just didn't get it?
If you want me to get into particulars, I do have some stuff. Specifically with the sales tax issue a couple months ago, we did request all documentation and reports that the Department of Finance did have in their possession. What we got back was incomplete, and then what we had to do was specifically request the New York State report that we knew existed and was not provided us to in the beginning. Another example with the sales tax issue, Controller Auerbach reached out to the Department of Finance again, asking for the past contracts that have been signed between the county and City of Kingston. That request went unanswered until I was able to get a copy from Mr. Quesnel in the legislature. Those are two such examples right there. Another one with Department of Finance, there's dealing with the disbursement account and bank reconciliations and its outstanding checklist. There's been an inquiry into the list as of January, and another prod went out about 2 weeks ago, and it's still outstanding and still being worked on. The bank confirmations, which is just a updated list of bank accounts, kind of the status and location of them, that went out to every department in the county, and we gave about a 3.5 week deadline on that. And the county clerk and Department of Social Services either didn't get back to us in time, or they required prodding right up until the deadline on that. And that was something that anyone in the office should really be able to prod. You really don't have to wait for a department head for that. Some more examples I was given, follow-up reports, which will issue 6 months after a report or audit has been done to check on the status of implementation of recommendations. Department of Social Services and DPW both needed 3 weeks or so to get back to us, which really just involved a yes or no answer. DSS in particular was more of a due diligence example of they were really trying to go by the book and seeing, you know, all the I's were dotted, all the T's were crossed. But still, it was about a 3 week to a month turnaround just for yes or no's, which is what we were looking for. And what's been stressed to me to convey is that we're not asking for the production or the creation of documents. These are records and pieces of information that are maintained and available in the regular course of business. So it's not like we're asking people to really do work per se. It's really just locating and printing at that point that anyone should be able to do.
I'm trying to find the section in the charter. It's in the administrative code. Because as to the controller's power,
it's C57.
Right. When I had my my iPad last month, I was able to look it up, and the stupid phone is too small. But regardless, I believe that this is unnecessary. That if you're not getting information in a timely manner, then what we need to do is a revision of the charter of the duties of the comptroller to state something like, because it does state the comptroller is entitled to information, you know, in a timely manner, but it doesn't say how long. You know, maybe we need to change the charter to say after a formal request from the comptroller's office, the departments and the executive have to comply within 10 days or something.
I mean, the sticking point for us is the at any time language that's in there. And while reasonable, quote unquote, could be debated as far as a length of time, at any time is pretty clear cut as far as that debt. And generally, again, we make exceptions and we use discretion. And if we are asking for a voluminous packet of info, you know, We're not going to require that within 2 days. There is going to be some time and thought given to that. But
I'm going to let Dave speak for a minute. Okay. But, you know, if I just might, I understand what you're saying, but to change a whole charter, they had 6 days to something, or sort of seems ministerial in a way that we should be able to handle it here or there or somewhere if there is a problem. You know what I mean? To change the whole charter and ask all the citizens of the county to vote whether it should be done in 15 days or 27 days.
We wouldn't have to do that. We could do that through a local law.
Okay, David.
Well, then you're not changing the charter. But the point is the reason I actually asked the to put something together like this, you know, because when I was trying to find that information in reference to the sales tax stuff, I wanted to get unbiased information. I wanted to get information from the comptroller, and he's got the constitutional charge to, you know, the charter charge to basically oversee the government in a sense, be the watchdog of of government. And that's one of the reasons why it was put in there in the first place. So what this does is actually create a policy that we support, a policy that he gets this information in a timely fashion. Because we need, you know, sometimes you're going to want that information not from necessarily the county executive, because not that I'm saying the county executive is going to be biased, but in some cases they will be, you know, particularly if they want to support a particular program. Now, the idea that the comptroller could go in and look at these numbers and say, well, you know, these numbers don't really support that, and we need somebody that can do that, and that's the very purpose of the position. By hamstringing the person by saying, oh, you're not going to get this information, and they got to wait 30 days, in other words, then we can really act the way we need to act at times. You know, we need to have the information. Maybe if we got some of this more information on some certain things. I think the comptroller recently put out a report about changes to items and how they keep on changing and certain things, and there needs to be certain diligence before, you know, and we need to do that also. Now, granted, I understand that you're, you know, the position is going to most likely aggravate a number of legislators. It's going to aggravate the county executive. That's the nature of the position. You know, they are to question those things. And to not to be able to have information in a timely fashion is just absurd. And then you're not really letting him have the tools that he needs to do his job. So that's the reason why, in other words, I asked them to put this together. They put it together, and then, they put it in there that, you know, at his request, and that was fine. And I think sometimes people maybe he shouldn't have put his name on it saying it was at his request because it really was mine that I wanted to put together a policy for that. That was reasonable. And, just because it was him, there's a certain number of people that automatically say, oh, no good. It's coming from the controller. It's coming from Elliot Arabeck. Therefore, it's no good. Well, we need to get past that kind of stuff, and we really got to take a look at what we're doing here, and that this is an important part of that job, and it's an important part of protecting the county.
Yes, sir.
Just, I want to bring up he has subpoena power. The comptroller has subpoena power. He can get those records.
Should he be doing that every time?
He only has to do it once or twice, right?
And honestly, we're getting to that point, but that's been a last resort that we haven't wanted to, a road that we haven't wanted to go down.
I mean, that's what the charter gave you the power for, you know, in case there was this kind
of... And that time is...
Yeah, but that's the, when you can easily take care of this information.
I just wanted to bring up the point that there was a subpoena power.
No, I certainly understand that, but the point is that we can actually make a policy that the information comes out in a timely fashion, and that's what we're trying to attempt to do.
Right.
Attempt to solve that problem, because then all of a sudden what we're doing is now we're involving the courts and the cost money of involving the courts into a situation that you don't really need to be involved the courts in.
I don't think subpoenaing a department head or an assistant county executive needs a lawyer. You want information, you want that person right in front of you to tell you where that information is or to supply that information.
It still could cost man hours.
The charter is explicit, And we should read it as such, okay? Because to interpret the charter, that's when you get lawyers involved. Interpretation.
This is not an interpretation.
But it's pretty clear to
get information.
Me. It's pretty clear to me that he has the power to ask for any information he wants outside of, and I'm not, you know, sketchy, outside of
whatever.
Social services, what were those accounts? Custodial accounts or whatever they were called?
Right.
Because of HIPAA laws and social security numbers and things like that. But it's in the charter. You're entitled to it. If you're not getting it, I think you're right. I think that you subpoena that department head or you subpoena the whole office and you get it.
We shouldn't get that far.
This is just...
There's all brought on by...
The provision's already been set for you to get your information.
But brought on by this current protocol that we've removed ourselves from, there's now been a culture fostered where 17 days is essentially the norm. So we can give you a response within 7, we can then take our time and tack on an additional 10. And that's generally been the case.
Well, we're not talking about life or death situations. I mean, information is information. If you're going to get it, you're getting the information.
So when do you have to act? I mean, Carl, what you're doing is you're just nitpicking over things. If you don't believe they should get the information in timely fashion, just say it. That's fine. They shouldn't get the information in timely fashion. That's it.
I'm saying the charter already accommodated that.
It didn't accommodate the real turnover time. It accommodated the idea that there will be time. And most people have reasonable ideas of what time is. And time is at 17 days when you're, particularly at our schedule, when we have meetings, you have a deadline and things of that nature. And then you've got a, you end up having to put the thing off to the following month because you couldn't get the information. I mean, it's just foolish.
And subpoena, in my mind, is
right,
a nuclear option. There's no stick before that saying, hey, comply or else. Right now it's don't comply and we'll come shoot you for it, but there's no real interim provision.
You know, just from my own perspective, about 2 years ago, I was asked... We wrote a letter asking for copies of the liability and casualty and fire policies on the infirmary, what used to be the infirmary. You know, I used to pretend I was a half an orderer, you know, and so I was on a little bit of a mission looking for... What did the county, as an agreed amount replacement costs, carry the infirmary at? Sent a letter. I think 3 months, 4 months. Sent another letter. To this day. Now, is this... It's hardly something for me to stand on the table and scream about.
Were you an elected official at the time?
Yes, sir. I was even... Somebody said, well, you could have, the chairman could put a resolution in to support you. I said, I was at the time, I think, wasn't I? So, is it a trickle-down thing? Do delays occur a lot? I didn't think that was particularly onerous, just showing me the policies. I'd like to know what the county carried it at. So if the whole place fell to the ground, it would have been worth $8 million, $10 million, or $45 million. Never got it. So when I see something like this, it's not meant to be in a fight all the time. But good Lord, at least something to say. And this probably doesn't even cover something that you want, or I want, or Tommy wants. But by the same token, it ought to be something to say, hey, come on, let's make this work right, or else then there is a third step, which is a pretty big stick. You start subpoenaing for something is pretty serious stuff. I mean, I just don't think it looks good in the paper. It doesn't look good for ourselves. And I don't think what I was asking for was pretty secretive. Never got it to this day.
No, and I...
And I can show you the letters if you really want to see them.
I, you know, commiserate with you on that, but there's nothing in the charter that gives the legislature the power to ask
but this
for records.
But this thing we can add to it right here.
You have subpoena power as well.
Yeah. I don't.
Yes,
well, not for that.
Absolutely nothing in the charter. You have it. We don't.
You have it.
Yeah, we do. The legislature does have subpoena power.
Oh, no, I'm saying, but we... But just to give a request. Now, the only way you're going to get information, okay, from the county executive's office or any department is to fill out a FOIL request. And you've got to send it to the FOIL manager of that department. Because that's how I got my records for Golden Hill. Because I'd been asking for you know, I mean, if, to just ask a deputy county executive, give me all the records you have on Golden Hill as it pertains to the sale. That's a lot of work. Do you think they're going to do that for us?
You know, if I could just argue that 1 second.
Right, I was.
I did reply back.
I don't understand where you're coming from. You're a county legislator. You should be able to get that information. That's where my take on it. You represent your particular people. You should be able to get that information.
I didn't know what I was looking for.
And if you can't get that information, that's a little problematic.
I wanted it all, and I foiled it.
And it's particularly problematic when the controller, the very person that's supposed to be the watchdog, can't get information. That's even more problematic to me.
You know, I got an answer back. It said, we can't give it to you because all the insurance is lumped into one package, which is just not true. Just not true. You know, if you have 10 cars, they don't list them individually. They sure do. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't like I didn't fill the request out and therefore they deep-sixed it. They did answer me,
yep,
and then bagged it. So, I don't know if this happens a lot or infrequently, but Tommy, you want to chat about it?
No, I think the comptroller's out of line.
Huh?
I think he's comptroller's out of line.
What are you asking for information?
I say, no. I think, you know what? Subpoena one person once. Let's see what happens. Do that, and then cut. And I don't want to hear the gibberish. Do that once, and then come back to me if it doesn't work, and then I'll support this all day long. Because I'm tired of... Hold on. I apologize, because it did appear as though I stopped. Because I'm tired of Elliot being Elliot. And he's a friend. But I'm tired of his bullshit. Because when it works for Elliot, it works. You know, like... So I guess the reason that the sales tax numbers were way off is because he didn't have all the information. Because they were off. Is that because...
Which report was that?
I don't know. It was about a month ago when we were talking about the sales tax. It was off. And he was off by a sizable amount. Is that because he didn't have all the information? Then don't put the thing out. But no. Subpoena one person. Then come and I'll support. Do your due diligence. There's a law set up. We're just reinventing the law now. Creating more policy. I don't think we need to. There's something in the charter that says what you have to do. Do it once.
Can I just speak to the subpoena for a second?
Sure.
As something as simple as our management letter review right now, which is the outside auditors every year review the financial statements, come up with suggestions, recommendations based on some deficiencies or weaknesses that they come up with. So we've been conducting a review as far as implementation of some of their suggestions. Department of IS, Information Services, had a comment. It required a yes or no response, basically, whether a business continuity plan had been completed and put into effect. Just required a yes or we it was not, can you create it? Can you update it? What's the status? Where is it right now? Those talks had to be postponed about 3 weeks due to budget issues, vacation issues, and other types of things, when all that was required was basically a yes or no. And in that instance, are we really going to subpoena someone for a yes or no?
Yes. If you've got the power, yes. Because otherwise, you know, I was the FOIL officer for a number of years in a couple of different prisons I worked in. And I think I did my job fairly well. And the reason I think I did it fairly well is because when I got requests, people got responses back in a timely fashion, and then depending on the nature of the scope of it, you know, I gave them a reasonable date, so on and so forth. But the first time the guy started screwing around with me, asking stupid stuff, I had a way that I could then affect that with that FOIL request. So yeah, it requires a yes or no. Put in a subpoena. Put it in the newspaper. Elliot doesn't mind going to the newspaper any other time. Put it in the newspaper and make somebody look stupid. And then maybe the next time around, somebody won't say, what me worry, because I can put the guy off. Yeah, subpoena. Because if I'm reading the paper, I'm saying, Christ, it's a yes or no, and the guy can't get it. How do you know, that looks favorable, I think, on the comptroller. But otherwise, no. When you dilly-dally, I think you give the guy onus to just jerk you around next time, too. And I'm being serious. I'm not trying to make fun of anybody, but, you know, I had inmates just jerk me around with FOIL requests all the time, and then I had to slap them a couple of times with my responses. So slap a couple of people, and I'll bet you a dollar things change. And until then, I won't support this.
Out of respect for the sponsor, I would like to make a motion to go in an executive session to talk about a personnel issue between the comptrollers and the executive's office that can't be divulged in public because there are personal issues involved. Would anybody like to second it?
Well,
because I have.
Who's going to? I'll second it for discussion, but. How are we going to talk about personnel issues? I don't have privy to any of that personnel issue, unless it's my own perception, and I don't think that's executive session material.
I mean, I have information that I'd like to share with you, but...
And in a court of law, that would be hearsay.
I can't share it, though.
So, I don't think there's any love lost between the two.
You're talking about employees, and you're talking about...
Well, if you're talking about a specific employee, then you can go into executive session if you're going to bring up a specific employee, if you felt that they did some kind of wrongdoing.
But if it's... In a court of law, that's hearsay. You're dealing third party, so, you know...
But that's okay.
Not for executive session, it's not.
Okay, I'll remove my...
I understand what you're saying, Carl. I understand what you're saying. I think it has merit, but I don't think
I've talked to the county executive's office, and I've talked to our clerk, and it was agreed upon by the comptroller and the county executive's office that there were going to be protocols that were supposed to be followed for requests for information, and it was told to me that it started to happen from your office. And then it just went right through the wayside. And I'll give you an example. Just producing a resolution that comes from the comptroller's office lands on the clerk's desk with no sponsor.
With no what?
With no sponsor. This came from Elliot, okay? It fell on your lap. You sponsored it to get it to the floor.
No, I asked Elliot to do it.
You asked Elliot to do it.
That is something I requested from Elliot.
Okay,
because I called him up because I was trying to get information on the sales tax issue, and I was trying to get some information that was unbiased. So I was looking for that type of information. I got information. Some information wasn't given me completely out of their office. I got some information from the city. I got some information from other places. And then the information I wanted to verify certain information. Then he attempted to do that, and he wasn't able to get the information. At that point, I said, well, wait a minute. If you're the comptroller, you can't get this information. No, they're not giving me the information. And there was it was a very timely manner also, if you remember correctly. And that's when I said, well, you know what? I find that inappropriate. I find it totally against what your position stands for. And because when the position was put in, it was myself and Hector Rodriguez that wanted this position included in. We were the two people who began to push to have this position in. And the understanding was it was going to be a watchdog type of position. The understanding was that they were going to be able to get unfeathered information. You know, that was at least our intent when we were looking at it. So, in other words, they would be able to hold both legislature accountable and the county executive accountable. That was the mindset. So, no, I asked them to do this. That was, it didn't come from his office. Without any request, I asked for it. I said, "Well, you know, why don't you put together and I will sponsor it?" And they said, "Okay." Is that not correct?
That's correct.
All right, because I talked with them.
Then I apologize.
All right. Well, no, that's fine.
There have been other resolutions that landed on the clerk's desk without sponsors, and the clerk would have to tell your department to get a sponsor before you hand in the resolution. Here's what it seems to me. If what you're telling me and what you're telling me is true, then our government is not following the law. Okay? It's making it hard for you to get information or not giving you information.
It is, at this point in practice, it is not following the spirit of the any point in time verbiage. No.
The charter explicitly states let me build the foundation here. The charter explicitly states what your ability of, sorry, doesn't micromanage either of you, saying it's got to be 5 days or it's got to be 10 days. Timely. How do we know that they're not scrambling crazy looking for information that you want and it isn't timely because either they don't have the resources to get it or they can't find it? I don't think they're being obstructionists. I just think that they're busy. How many requests do you give the county executive on a weekly basis?
It's not many.
Seven?
It's not many. On a weekly basis, it's not many.
Uh-huh. But I guess it would be the complexity of the requests.
They generally follow, again, formal, larger scale audits.
Right.
And some of the more ministerial everyday functions of bank recs, outstanding checks, those types of issues or documents should be at their fingertips. And again, it does not involve creation on their part.
Not being in an executive session, in my opinion, there's a struggle going on between your office and their office, and you guys aren't playing nice. That's what I see, because it's explicit in the charter. They do give you, they do handle your requests. It may not be in a timely manner, but I guess we got to define timely. I just think it's got to be worked out between the two offices. If we want to have a special meeting between the deputy county executives and your office to go over protocol again and to try to come to some understanding and cooperation that helps you and helps them, I think that's all that's needed. I don't think we need a resolution demanding that we need this and we need that in this timely fashion or in that timely fashion.
I'll put this out in the open. We had discussions with Chairman Ronk about this very piece. He felt your sentiment as well, that this could better be accomplished between good faith negotiations between our office, the executive, and the county attorney. They all know about this. County attorney came into our office now a week or two ago, and that's where conversations have ended at this point, that, you know, they'd be getting back to us about this. So this is the best we can do in order to get attention to the cause, because otherwise we're not going to get anywhere, and it's just the reality of if the legislature would want to be some type of mediator between two or three parties, that could be a solution. But as far as direct conversations and debate goes, I just don't know if something favorable is going to come out of it.
I mean, I think it would be appropriate for, like, the Ways and Means Chairman, the Chairman of the Legislature, the Minority Leader and the Majority Leader, get together with the two offices and iron out a protocol that best suits your needs, because we all know what the charter says, and it's just that one little bit of ambiguity that states timely that can be abused, or, and in my opinion, you think that that's being abused. If I ask them, They're saying it's not being abused, that they're working hard to fill your requests. As to legislators, there's nothing in the charter that states they have to give us anything.
Well, I think it's more personality than anything else. Even TJ pointed it out. He doesn't like the way Elliot handles things, so therefore he's not going to support this.
No, that's not what I said at all.
And more or less, not what I said in many ways.
I'm not giving a personal thing about personalities, but I'm just saying I think there are personalities.
And there's certain aspects that is, in other words, people do not like to be criticized. And that's his job, technically, is to criticize in a sense. It's a significant part of the job. So, therefore, you know, why do you want to give them information?
I think those are two different.
I call a question. Give me one subpoena, and then you have my support if that.
All right. What's your pleasure?
I'm a no.
I'm a no.
You want to move it? Call a vote?
Oh, I already moved it for discussion.
We already moved it for discussion.
Okay.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
All right.
You're the chairman. You call for the vote. No.
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 No. Yes. Okay. Moving on. What we have is old business at this point. I think everybody got a copy of the of the correspondence that we've been sending out. Number one, the strainer, the stuff up there in the mountains that where the little girl got killed. The contracts have been signed. It hasn't been done yet, but it's moving forward. So I'm happy with that.
Do you know if there is any DEC or DEP regulations that says, you know, like after September 1, they can't? I know, like, there are certain times of year you can't get in.
This is all on the bank.
Okay, cool. Good.
It's all on the bank. And all of the contracts with the DEC, the DEJ, and the JJK are all signed.
Good.
So we are going down that road with our other committee, though.
Okay.
And we're sending a letter out to the district chief, either for a private conversation. I don't mean private secret.
Right, right, right.
Or ask, because there's a new director, or an acting director,
okay,
to find out what the line in the sand is, what, as a group, we could identify that can.
Right.
If it's above a rock, can we take it out? If it's below the rock, if it's in the sand, what can we do without a permit? And then what could we do with it? Just so we're not wasting our time too much further down the road. But trying to make the stream, this is trying to make the stream safe, Tom.
Yeah, I know.
Because there's so many. There's so many dates where you can't get in the stream. Like, you're limited. You know, you get this, like.
Well, listen, we got this part taken out. So, you know, in my opinion, if this goes through, it's through. It's been signed, sealed, not quite delivered yet. At least we've reached the point where we know we can talk to people.
Cool.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And once. You know, once I name my price, you know that I'm available. You know what I mean? We sent a letter to Craig Lopez on the vending machines, and the answer from the purchasing director. We sent the note to. The commissioner of the health department, and what was this again, Jay?
Two of them.
Huh?
One.
Oh, the mental health, pre- and post-privatization statistics. I think, did you ask for that, Carl?
No, I didn't.
Maybe I did. Maybe Tommy did. But we didn't discussion, maybe you did. We didn't discuss and say, I'm just wondering how it's working.
Right.
Are they getting more people, less people? Is a mobile van working? Is it not working? Mm-hmm. So this is something that we've asked. Said another light that I believe you did ask about was
the tobacco. Right.
And you got a copy of that?
Yep.
And we don't have an answer yet.
No.
But we did send a note out, and we'll be compiling all this. So at least we can put a report out that for the first 6 months, this is what we tried to accomplish. Just so some other folks can make a decision whether this committee is worth anything or not. Office for the Aging, I believe we discussed, the legal services provider and how much they're getting in their protocols in there and their MO, method of operation. Pardon?
I asked that one too.
Yes. And lastly, for your perusal and anybody else, local law is adopted since 2008. Local law is adopted that we can focus on to
see. Yesterday.
To see. What's that?
Some of them seem like they happened yesterday. And they were like 8 years ago. Like, holy Christ.
So please read them. If you have a particular...
There's part one and part two.
And this is part one, because part two were policy laws, right?
No, part two, we kind of pre-sorted them. So part one are things that you might actually want to focus on. Part two are more ministerial things. You can move them to wherever
that
you want.
That would be you sort of prioritize them.
I pre-sorted them.
Yeah. Pre-sorted. Did you
went back to 2008. So what they did, you went back to 2008. Is that what you did?
Mm-hmm, to the charter. We figured from post-charter to last year.
Like, for instance, one of my favorites, a local law establishing an automatic re-canvass procedure in and for the County of Ulster. So if somebody loses by less than 0.5% or 1%, there's a manual. We haven't had to do that yet. But in the event somebody wins or loses by 5 votes or 6 votes, we'll see how it works out. And so that's that. Any discussion on where we are or what we're doing?
Yes.
Go ahead, sir.
Okay. On the second page of this local laws adopted 2013, local law number 2, local law establishing the Ulster County School-Based Mental Health and Safety Act.
Okay.
I know you've been asking questions about that and exactly why the schools didn't want to participate.
Yes.
And I went through my files and I found a letter dated August 5th, 2013. Did everybody get a copy? Yeah, I see it right there. From Charles Corey to the Ulster County Executive and the members of the legislature. And he explicitly states why they will not comply, all the school districts. So just in case, in case you wanted to know. I remember reading it, but this was so long ago, 2013.
My school district said the same thing.
Yeah. So, in a nutshell, basically, it was they felt it was an unfunded mandate, and that if they wanted, if we wanted them to follow the law, then we needed to fund them.
Well, yeah, but you also notice the second paragraph down on the back side where there's been some support of a program very similar to this in Rockland County. So it's not like it was something invented.
No, it was just
something that somebody didn't want to do.
Right. And this is his response, not mine.
But I thank you for doing this.
Yes.
I thank you for doing it. And listen, with the problems that we have out there right now with the addiction things going on, maybe it would have been nice if some folks in the education business had extended themselves a little further. Anything else, my friend?
Nothing.
Tommy?
No.
My friend over there,
no.
Got anything on your mind?
Nope.
You sure now?
Yes, thank you.
Would you want to state your name for the minutes?
Sure, my name is Christopher Adolph. I live in High Falls.
High Falls?
Yep. I'm just here to familiarize myself with all.
Okay, great. Well, a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Carried. Thank you very much.